Right, hello everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dark Who Pod. I am Josh. With me, as always, is co-host Jack.
Hi there.
And co-host Bradley Fuller.
Hello.
How's it going, boys? All right?
Yeah, all good. Mate. You're all good. Excited to talk about the that turn left, which I'm still not sure if it's a political statement or just a statement about actually turning left. But what about yourself? You all good?
Yeah, good. I didn't even realise the whole turn, like, you said turn left as in, like, vote Labour.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But I feel like politics has been in the news recently, what with, you know, a new government and in the UK, Donald Trump getting a fancy ear piercing, you know, all that stuff.
There's definitely some, I was getting some reform vibes from this episode at certain points, but should we go for in a sentence, JP?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether Lib Dems were in this one, but yeah, sure. That, in a sentence. In a sentence.
That's
a word, isn't it? I never know what to say. I don't do things in sentences. The Doctor Who equivalent of What If.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Bradley?
I do like that, to be fair. That is good. But I was going to say the Infinity War of Doctor Who, because it's like the first part. This and part one of the next one combined is like the Infinity War. Yeah.
I don't think this is Infinity War.
It's definitely linked. It's basically a three-part.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. Because you get reintroduced to all the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I would say a nice little frolicking adventure. Just a lovely. Oh no! I'm gonna say a bit of a downer.
What?
Yeah, really? This episode's fucking miserable. But anyway, we will jump into that in a minute. Who knows, everybody?
Yeah, we do have some who knows.
I think I've got one bit of who knows that is probably what you're thinking of. So, do you want to fire away?
Well, what are you thinking of? What?
Just the only bit of who news I have is the Jodie Whittaker is coming back news.
Oh, really? No, a couple of bits then. She's not coming back.
Finish.
She's coming back with her companion to do audio adventures, isn't she?
Yeah, it doesn't really count, but I mean, she's back. Good for her. I won't be listening to it, if I'm being honest. I'm just going to flat out say, kick off this episode with a controversial opinion. I don't think she was a good doctor. I don't think it's got anything to do with the writing. I think it's the acting.
I think it's both, to be fair.
It probably is bad writing, but
just fringe.
Yeah, she was just too
cringe. But that was the writing.
Yeah, but David Tennant has had bad episodes, but he's never bad in a bad episode. He's always good in a bad episode. Jodie's just bad.
I think she didn't have the fit doctor, to be fair. But yeah, that's the first bit of who knows. And then the only second bit is actually only got tweeted today, I think. I think it's been announced a while ago, but it's officially happening on Friday. They're unveiling a Doctor Who section in Madame Tussauds, which is pretty sick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'll get a little picture with Shooty Getwa, you never know.
Oh, yeah, let's go, Mooch.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, you fully should do
that. Yeah, on Instagram and Twitter.
Who are they going to have there?
I know Shooty and Millie are definitely there. I'm presuming they've got like Daleks and stuff there. I don't know. Let's see, I guess.
Well, there you go. There's a question for you. If you could have one picture from any character from Doctor Who, who would you have? Madam Tussauds. Mm-hmm. So like they were like, look, we're going to, you know, you've got one choice. What are you going for?
It's got to be the 10th Doctor, isn't it?
Well, it's got to be Capaldi. Wait. Are you saying we can have a life-size figure of a character?
Of a character or monster or anything like that.
What can we do with this life-size figure?
Well, no, it's just a picture. There's fucking, you can't molest it, Jesus.
No, I'm just, we've got a picture of a character. That's what you're saying.
Okay, you know how Madison Swords works, yeah? There's a wax model, right? You take a picture, it looks lifelike, that's it. There's a life-size wax model of whatever you want from Doctor Who. What's it going to be?
You can have a picture with
So you we can like picture. Take a selfie with it. Right, okay. Well, it's going to be Peter Capaldi, although I've already met him in real life, and Matt Smith, so.
Nobody really cares about them, though, do they? Let's be honest.
Mine's Peter Capaldi, obviously.
Well, David Tennant. What's yours, JP?
I'd probably go for either a Slovene or maybe a Santal. Something interesting. You can go meet actual people.
I suppose, yeah, I do get where you're coming from.
It's got to be a Dalek then, surely.
I just feel that Daleks are a bit boring. Like they're, you know, influential, but I just feel like of all the characters out there, Daleks probably, maybe a Cyberman, so.
Yeah.
It's like a bit more imposing, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think that question hit quite as well as you expected it to, JP.
Because no, I had to explain how magical swords works to you both.
On that note, are we ready to jump into the episode?
No, I'm going to cry for a bit.
Right, cold open. We're doing turn left, by the way, everybody. I think we set it up top. Right, cold open. In my head, I always thought this was Pompeii for some reason.
What?
Like, I just thought this opening was set in Pompeii. Yeah. When I put the episode on, I was shocked that it wasn't Pompeii. Like, I don't know why that had been ingrained into my head.
Got similar vibes, but yeah, it's some sort of planet that's a bit Asian.
Yeah, I just thought it feels very similar.
I guess the market scene.
Yeah,
Pompeii starts off with the walking through the market in Pompeii. I suppose this one starts off with the walking through. What I described as future Chinatown.
Apparently, they reached out in Cardiff to Chinese people and offered them 70 quid a day, but they made a typo on the invitation or casting call or whatever and put 700 quid a day. So loads of these Chinese people in Wales showed up. They got fitted in costumes and like everything was made. And then about halfway through the day, when they found out it was only 70 quid, they just all started leaving, just literally walking off set.
No way, really?
Yeah.
70 quid a day back then, probably, what, £10 an hour? That ain't bad back then.
Yeah, but if you're expecting 700...
I'd do it for free. I'd genuinely do it for free. Like, if someone rang me up and said, we need some extras on Doctor Who, I'd pay them to be on it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
he's going there, like, can I pay you 700?
Yeah, I would.
You know what? I still never saw this. I've still never seen the episode when you were in Made in Chelsea in the background.
Oh, have you not?
No, you've never shown us it.
I genuinely wouldn't even know how to find it at this stage. I couldn't tell you what series it was, what episode it was. But I'm out there somewhere, the back of my head.
I'm in a cooking show.
Oh, it's only the back of your head.
I think you see me walking up to the bar, meeting someone, and then I think the back of my head is in shot for most of the scene. Little
cake. I was in a baking program. It was one of those ones where they make like big cakes.
What were you doing in it?
What?
Yeah, I was eating it. That's what I was doing, mate.
What?
So they made a the first year I joined my American football team, we did the Super Bowl. And they made a massive American football helmet cake on this program. It's like BBC 4, 3. And then they had the camera crews come into the pub, like when the Super Bowl was on, to film it. And then they did all the introduction and outro and everything like that. It was really cool. And then, yeah, you see me on TV. I'm right in the background, eating cake, chatting, you know.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting.
There you go.
Why would a time traveler go to a fortune teller?
You know what, right? There's two things that bug me in this episode. That's number one. And the second thing is, why the fuck does Rose have a list?
I read about this in my extensive research. It's because she couldn't remember how to do Rose's voice, and she was so cold that she had a lisp. I've never been so cold that I've got a lisp before. That's her excuse, because she had such a small jacket on in the middle of winter whilst filming that she developed a lisp.
Sorry, I just think I'd stick myself in the fridge for a bit, see if I develop a lisp. I do scientific research, leave it alone.
Right, what's the point in the bug?
Well, it's there. It's just the thing. It's there to like kind of guide her through what if something else happened. Like a minor minor change.
But what is the point of it? Like what does it service the plot?
I don't know, it's just saying the latch is on, I guess. Rather than have something techie, they're like, we'll just have a giant beetle. Looks creepy.
Yeah, it's like a time beetle, isn't it? Is that what he calls it?
Yeah. And I'm guessing as well, it's probably exponentially worse because at the end of the episode, the doctor says, like, because you of what Donna's seen and what she's done with the doctor. So maybe for other people, it's just a tiny little bug.
Yeah, I guess so. I just didn't like, I just have it. It feels like it's just there to pad the timing. I don't know. It just seems strange. Like, it doesn't serve any purpose. It's not dangerous. It doesn't.
Well, the people who say about there's something on your back, I think it makes it pretty important to the episode, to be fair.
But to what end?
What do you mean?
Like, they say there's something on your back, but like, one, who can see it and who can't bloody see it? That pisses me off. Two,
well, everyone can see it apart from Donna.
No, it's the perception filter.
Yeah. It's only some people.
No. I'm convinced it's the perception filter. So do you remember when, I can't remember what episode it was, but the doctor says, it's like your eyes are naturally averted away, so it's not invisible. But you just think you see something, it, then it's not there.
I get all that. But then, but then why does the guy, the military guy with the gun, be like, oh, what's that on your back? Like, almost shoot her. Like, why do some people notice it more than others?
No, because he thinks it's easy. Yeah. She turns around and there's nothing there. It's still there. It's just the perception that's back.
I don't know. Didn't like that as a plot point. I think you can cut all of that out. You can cut out everybody saying what's that on your back. It doesn't change the story whatsoever.
No, I think it makes it creepy. I think it's needed.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll write that.
How creepy is the music in this as well? But the RR, you know, where like kind of like influential things happen, so like the doctor dies, with the hospital goes off, everything like that. How creepy is that?
Yeah, the score's on point this week.
£23,000 a year, which isn't really a lot, then, was it? If
you think she started on 20. She got a promotion to 23.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I know the times have changed everything, but fuck me.
It's not great, is it?
Yeah, but I definitely, I mean, Jesus, you wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't be out of the mortgage.
Well, I actually, so at the end, Wilf says something about his pension or something, right? So presumably the three of them living in that house, Donna's kind of wage, his pension. Does Sylvia do anything?
No, never.
I'm sure she should. Like, she says that she was working or something. Because they share a car, don't they? That's why they were both in the car.
Is Sylvie a bit of a cunt?
Yes.
She's a bit annoying. But she's a good character still.
But she's not a nice character, right? Like, she's supposed to be dislikable.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and like right the way through the episode, in fact, right the way ever since we've seen her since the Christmas, like, you know, the point where Donna's like, when like kind of when they've moved up to Leeds, and Donna's like, oh, well, I've spoken to the army, they're not getting jobs or anything like that. And she's just like, oh, well, you know, I'm just disappointed. Jesus. Like, you know, got to give a little bit of motivation.
Yeah, no, well, I think in this episode in particular, she's a pretty good analogy for depression. And I think the way it's handled is pretty good. Like, she literally just gives up on life. I thought, oh, that was quite interesting. But there was just a few things where she's like, what did she say? Oh, I'm sorry, Grandad. You can go and get the door because it's Christmas and I don't get out of bed before 10. This man's fucking 80 years. Get out of bed, woman. What are you doing?
Traditions are traditions.
Oh, God. It's really upset me.
But imagine they went in Easter. You know, you're not allowed for Christmas to get chocolate eggs. You know, traditions are traditions.
Yeah, but he's old. Get out of bed and get the door, you lazy old cow.
Yeah, she's definitely designed as a character to be unlike.
So the doctor's dead, guys.
Oh, I didn't think he was dead. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was. I forgot that we're not in the Marvel kind of point of the world yet, where, you know, if you don't see characters die on screen, then they're not actually dead. So when I was watching this, I was like, oh, there's no way he's dead. And I was like, oh, he's actually dead. What a surprise.
It was clearly him, though, with the Sonic and the arm.
Well, funny you should say that, Bradley, because it's not David Tennant.
Well, yeah, obviously not. You can have doubles.
They just leave that Sonic screwdriver on the floor. Nobody picks it up.
Yeah. No one knows what it is.
Yeah, but come on. Well,
they know who the doctor is, don't they?
Not really.
Well, yeah, because they know what the TARDIS is as well.
Who? What, just random people?
Unit.
The bloke's literally
weeding
him into the ambulance, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so this episode is miserable. It's a real downer, no?
That's what would happen, isn't it? It's a reality of not having the doctor around.
That's true.
I suppose, yeah. I want to say up top as well, like, bloody good episode. But, my God, like, the bit that hit me was where the hospital goes up and Rose comes down. And they're like, Sarah Jane's dead. Two of her kids are dead as well. I'm like, this is like depressing as fuck. Then there's the whole, we touched on it, Sylvie. Is it Sylvie or Sylvia?
Sylvia.
Sylvia and her depression. Donna's like, I'll use the last of my wages to get chips. I'm just like, oh, man, it's a rough old ride, though.
Yeah, it is depressing, but I still think it's a great episode. It's just reality.
That's a good point. Reality is miserable because there's no doctor.
Yeah, but it also, I did like as well that things did carry on to a certain extent.
So in the sense that it wasn't like the doctor's gone and it's the end of the world.
Yeah, so like the hospital still returned. I know with only one person in it, but the hospital still did return. What was the other thing? The Sontarans were still defeated, even though it didn't return. And Sarah Jane was the hospital launch.
Yeah, Sarah Jane was the hospital, tortured with the Sontarans.
All right, the Titanic did get back, but that is a plot. I guess the people still lived. Like,
yeah, I mean, some people must have survived. I totally get what you're saying. And also how, like, Atmos and the Adipose were obviously very London-based at the Titanic's hit, so instead that's affecting America. Little things like that's really interesting. But God, just so depressing. This isn't what I want for my Doctor Who. I want to be entertained.
No, see, I like it. I really...
I think it's really interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is probably one of my favourite standalone episodes of Doctor Who.
Oh, wow, okay.
Well, because it's so interesting in the fact that, like, it is that what if, you know, they've gone, right, okay, we've done pretty much four seasons worth of Doctor and a Companion. What if the Doctor was the Doc? How much shit would go down?
Jack, that's a particularly bold statement coming from you, given how much hate for Donna there's been this season.
She is involved, but it's more, I'd say it's more Rose. If anything, it was brilliant because she yeets herself in front of a lorry. So.
Yeah, that does happen. That does happen. I think Donna's a little bit quieter. And again, it's probably the depression, but she's a lot quieter in this episode. She's a lot more sort of, I don't know. I feel like this is the Donna that we like in hindsight rather than the screamy, shouty Donna that we get before. Do you think that's fair, Brad?
No, I think people still like the screamy, shouty Donna. I think that's her personality. I think this is a case of this is Donna in a way of if she... I don't want to say if she didn't meet the Doctor because she was still shouty before as she meets him. But it is literally just what happens. It's you'd be like that if all the things happen that do happen in this episode. It is proper depressing.
Yeah,
everyone's going to be like that in the UK.
Yeah, fair enough. JP, do you like her more in this episode?
The like is that they give her this golden opportunity to in theory save the world. And in fairness, she does make the ultimate sacrifice, a lot of respect. But the bit that really irks me is the bit where she is stood in... It's the first time she sees the beetle thing on her back, where she stood with the mirrors and the lights and everything.
Yeah.
and she just pretty much starts like screaming and just like panic. I'm like, after all the weird shit you've seen, that's what gets you.
I reckon it probably would, wouldn't it?
No, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
If you find out there's a beetle on your back that you can't see, that's always there, and she gets no warning, really, from Rose or Unit as well, you'd think a heads up would be nice, wouldn't you?
That is true, actually. Rose was, in that scenario, Rose was a bit thick. I wonder if it carried on through to the episode after. It'd be interesting to see that, because Donna is the current companion. Rose is the first companion. Rose is the old. But like, she could have told her about it. Be like, look, by the way, don't freak out, but there's a time leeching bug on your back that we're going to sort out. But then just as Donna's about to go, she's like, yeah, you die. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I'm sat there and I'm like, the bedside manner just isn't there.
But that's because, don't forget as well, like, it's been what? 3 years of development without the doctor. So that probably factors in. Like, she's trying to be the doctor, but she doesn't really remember the doctor. She's a bit jaded because she got ripped away. All of those things probably factor in. I think this is peak Rose for me. I think she's the sexiest she's ever been. I think she's the most, I don't know, this is best Rose Tyler for me.
Yeah, I will say she, much like Martha, she's stepped up. Like, Martha is now very high up in Unit. Like, and I'm not saying Martha by any point before the doctor met her was, you know, after the long, because she was still a training doctor that was asking questions and pushing, you know, out of the boundaries and all that stuff. But like, then she's like, the next time we meet Martha, she's heavily involved in Unit. She's right up there. She knows all the secrets and that. And I think with Rose has kind of gone from, I wouldn't say she was necessarily dependent on the doctor, but when we last saw her, when, like, you know, with the parallel stuff, it was very kind of heavily implemented that she was a pure family person. She was there for the family, just the family, with her mom and dad. And now she's come back and she's just taken, like, pretty much just taking charge, which I really, really like.
Yeah, fair enough. Brad, Martha or Rose?
Take a long time to think about that.
Well, he's fallen asleep is clearly what's happened here. Are you there?
No, he's broken
bread. Go and bang on his wall or something. How long has he been out for? I can't believe this. I don't think we've ever had anybody stop listening whilst they're actually on the show.
Oh, you're all right, lad. Fucking fell asleep then. Jesus Christ.
Are you joking?
Oh, I thought he did as well.
Fucking hell.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God.
My door and made me jump. Jesus.
Oh my God. Wow. This has to be a new low for podcasting. One of the fucking hosts fall asleep in the middle of the episode.
That is going on a blooper reel to a half.
We were saying, who do you prefer as a companion, Rose or Martha?
Ooh, gotta be Rose.
Yeah?
A little bit too annoying, I think. She's too needy.
Ooh, Martha?
Yeah, do you not think? We used to say that when we used to review those episodes.
I think in her series, yeah, but I think Rose is more needy now.
Why is Rose needy now? She's literally travelled the universe on her own.
Yeah,
but you're saying just because she wants the doctor.
To get in the doctor's pants, yeah.
No, I still think Rose.
Interested.
Did you give your opinion while I was asleep?
I think Rose has become an idiot. Wow, this podcast episode is a shambles. This is the worst we've ever done, boys. This is the absolute lowest we've ever been.
The issue I've got is I'm so hot. It's so hot in this house, but I've turned the fan off because it will get picked up on the mic. I'm sweating.
Right, let's keep it moving, fucking hell. I would not want to be relocated to Leeds. Like, I'd rather be hit by the Titanic.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I even put a note saying a tough choice between Leeds and nothing. But I'd have to be like, look, can you give me a day to think about it? Can I come back to it?
Could you imagine you're sleeping in the kitchen as well? Because there's seven people upstairs, there's eight people in the living room, there's a fucking grandma. Fuck that for a laugh.
The thing is, I'm like, I guess there's less people that live up north than down south, yeah? I
guess so, yeah.
So there's a reason.
On that basis, there's got to be less houses up north than down south.
Yeah.
So like, I get that you'd probably have to double up and everything like that, but like, surely not that many people live up. Like, because London, I'm assuming the entirety of London got wiped out.
Yeah,
everybody died.
So like, surely there can't be that many people.
That's an O, to be fair. That's a good point. Don't bring logic into this otherwise excellent episode. I hate it when we do this.
But yeah, no, I've got to say, though, I'm assuming, I think, was he Italian, the family, Rocco? Were they Italian?
I thought Greek.
Yeah, Greek actually could have been. Yeah, I couldn't work it out. But I really liked them. I thought they were lovely people.
I'm glad you said that, because he comes back in a future episode. Did you know this, Brad?
No,
yeah.
What is that? What series?
One of the Peter Capaldi ones. The actor is back. He's not the same character.
Who does he play?
He plays the Pope in Peter Capaldi's which is just mental. In Peter Capaldi's last episode, last series.
I'm not going to remember that. To be fair, I'd have to rewatch it.
You'd have to wait till we get to the rewatch. But I wouldn't want to live with him, JP.
Yeah,
too many people in such a small house.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people in there, but they're nice people. And they're going to sing a bow rap and that as well. I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, even all of that. Hate all of that.
Really?
That was so apparently, whatever songs they're singing, there's like an old sea shanty and then Bohemian Rhapsody. Apparently, they played it once for all of the people in the house, and then they were just like, right, go, do it yourselves. That's not like a rehearsed thing or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
You've done pretty well, to be fair.
I mean, it's bow rap. I don't think they did that good a job.
Tough song to sing.
There is one quite funny bit where they're all depressed, and I think, is it Donna or Wilf or something? That goes, God bless America. And then it hard cuts to the news. America is in crisis. And that genuinely had a tickle out of me. I quite like that.
I put the same thing. I said, America in crisis, modern news thing.
Yeah, exactly. this is not a political podcast. Captain Jack is just gone. He's out of action. I like that they didn't say he died. I like that he said he got transported to the Suntaran homeworld or something. But the actual Torchwood crew died. We should have watched more Torchwood, by the way, guys.
And Sarah Jane Adventures.
Go watch the Sarah Jane Adventure. I mean, I'd be more in Torchwood.
Yeah. That conversation with Rose and Donna on the bench when they say Captain Jack's gone. Rose describes the doctor, she's like, you've probably dreamed about him, he has great hair. And then she lowers her eyeline and she goes, some really great hair. Is she talking about his pubes?
Don't think so.
He's oddly sexual.
I mean, I don't remember that specific bit, but I think that would be a bit strange. I think she's just talking that David Tennant has really good hair.
Do you reckon they've shagged at this point?
Probably.
Maybe.
Or do you reckon they just missed their mark? Do you think they were about to get together before she got shipped off to Parallel World? Anyway. Your Greek/Italian friend JP then gets shipped off to a labour camp, and we get the classic line, England is for the English. And I'd just like to remind everybody that Nigel Farage came second in Clacton, which is basically where we're from in Essex.
He came first, but
he won the seat in Clacton.
Yeah.
He's in no fucking way.
Yeah.
Do you not know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know,
Reform like nearly got the same vote share as Conservatives. They just didn't win as many seats because they came second everywhere.
Jesus Christ. Just going to let that simmer for a while. That's the state of the world we're in at the minute. That's insane.
You know what? Talking about kind of the state of things, the Labour camps wasn't interesting. Because, like, they make the point of literally 10 minutes before that happens, they make the point of where I think Donna says to her mum, or maybe she says to Donna, about that they can't vote. And I'm like, well, they've just moved county. They've not moved but country. That's like me moving up north, and then they're like, oh, yeah, so you can't vote. And that was a strange one. And then they literally just fucking wheel everyone off the spot. And I was just like, I'm not sure it would be that extreme. I'm assuming by Labour camp, we are talking like kind of, you know, like what happened in 1945. Or like 40 to 45. We're not talking that they're actually just putting now, because if I say it, there is a chance that they may flag us for, you know. But like, we're not talking about their working in warehouses. We are like forced labour. We are talking like kind of extermination.
I doubt it. I think it's probably more like an actual physical like labour camp. It's pretty brutal if we get a Doctor Who Holocaust episode.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I was sitting there thinking labour camps, and I'm like, okay, well they're just working them. I'm like, they are workhouses in the Victorian times. And then when Wolf says, oh no, it's happening again, I'm like, shit me.
He does say that, to be fair.
I'm like, are they really implying that they're going back for the old extermination camps? I'm like, fucking hell, it's a bit dark.
That would be. I doubt it. I doubt it. But how old if they are?
Yeah. It was just such a, I don't know, it was just like, it made me think. I was like, it's an interesting one. By the way, though, I've gone.
Go on.
I was going to say, the most terrifying thing in the episode is shortly after that, where they're both on the roof with the telescope. And then the stars start disappearing.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Really?
Well, but think about it, right? The stars are suns. So that means that where you're seeing solar systems are just going out like that.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, so that's like billions of light bulbs just disappearing and watching it go.
Good point, yeah. Not every sun has a solar system, though.
No, not every sun has light bulbs on it and everything like that, but still. Like, you're sitting there, and they don't actually explain what causes it.
That's actually a very good point. Brad, is it... What does cause it?
I'm not going to lie, I don't really know now. I thought it was just because the planet's been taken away, but it's not really, is it?
Is it the thing that the bad guy in the next thing is creating works in all these universes? Is that what it is?
What do you mean?
So because there's no Doctor in this universe, he can't stop what's about to come. So technically, the bad guy's plan would have worked.
No, I don't think it's as far ahead as that. I feel like it's just the fact that I think it's literally just because Rose keeps saying the darkness is coming, and it's just a way of making it a bit more scarier. I don't think there is a reason, to be fair.
Interesting.
There's no obvious reason why all the stars would be going out,
except for what the bad guy's plan is.
Even that, though, I think that's still a bit far-fetched.
I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that over the next couple of episodes. That is a very good point, JP. Why are the stars going out?
Yeah, it's just like never explained, because it's not something that's happened in Doctor Who yet.
No, we'll pick up on that. Brad, I didn't realise this was the introduction of the unit captain from Planet of the Dead.
That's the one with the comedian, isn't it? I forgot his name.
No, he's obviously not in it yet.
No, I know, but she's the captain in that episode. That's the episode you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. I always completely forget she's in this episode.
I didn't realise, but as soon as I saw her, I recognised her, and I think that's the first time I've gone, oh, yeah, she's the same one from that one.
Yeah. I like that, a little bit of continuity, just as this era is coming to a close, which I think is quite funny.
But then what happened to the old guy, the other guy from the Centaurian one?
Not sure. To be fair, though, even in the last most recent series we've had, how many unit staff has been there one episode and then gone the next?
Yeah, true.
Donna takes a coffee in the TARDIS. Let's hope she doesn't spill it, eh, Brad?
Hey!
We'll get one of the worst episodes of all of Doctor Who.
and God of Death can attach onto the TARDIS. Oh no, that happened years ago. Yes, it did.
Actually, yeah, didn't someone spill a tea in the TARDIS? No, in fact, they did for David Tennant's very first episode, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, good point. That's how he came back from regeneration.
Oh, yeah.
So then they're going back through the TARDIS. They've got the mirrors. They're somehow manipulating it. The TARDIS is trying to help, even though it's dying. I like all of that. Anything to say on that bit, boys? I was sort of, I've not really got any notes for that segment. I was just sort of quite gripped by the story at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's not really a lot to say, really, because that kind of final 10, 15 minutes is very explanatory. You know, Donna's told what she's got to do, how to fix everything. Rose never says her name, which is
not in this entire episode. Yeah,
no, she never says her name, and they
never know why.
Oh, well, she says it'll fuck everything up.
You might be paraphrasing there,
but yeah, don't quote me on that. She doesn't, but no, she pretty much she just says that it removes the risk of it getting all used.
Timey-wimey. Yeah.
I don't know how saying Bad Wolf is any different than saying Rose Tyler, but I get it builds tension, I suppose.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I get that she is Bad Wolf, but she could have just said Rose Tyler.
Is she Bad Wolf, though, or is Bad Wolf Sutek? Who knows?
Who?
What? Why would you say such a stupid thing like that?
That's what people have said. Have you not seen the theories after that new episode came out?
What? Sutek is Bad Wolf.
Yeah, dog, isn't it?
Absolute nonsense.
That episode was nonsense.
This is not a political podcast. Stop it. Stop bringing it up.
Not political.
So Donna takes the ultimate sacrifice, as you say. And we touched on it earlier, but it's all very dramatic. I'm not going to die. You meant this universe is going to cease to exist. And Rose is just like, nah, you're going to die, mate. Like, that's it. Yeah, game over.
Yeah, it's not the best bedside manner, is it, really? Like, especially as you're kind of... I don't know. It's about to say they're pinning all their hopes on Donna doing the right thing. But then Rose appears there anyway. So does that imply that if she'd have fucked up, they'd have just pulled her back and done it again?
I really don't know. I even love that she's like, I'm not going to die, am I? And Rose is silent. And then the unit captain's like, right, let's fucking go. Sending her back and out of the way. Like, gee, calm down, everybody. How have you not planned this better? Question for you, JP. 4 minutes to do half a mile?
I think that's pretty much pushing it. I mean, you can do it. There is such thing as a four-minute mile, but that's rarely achieved.
What's longer, a mile or a kilometre?
Mile.
How many kilometres in a mile?
It's 1.8.
Oh, it could be 1.6. I reckon average walking pace is probably, what, 10, 11 minutes per kilometre?
Yeah.
So if you're running, you've got to be doing double that speed, don't you? So that's like 5 minutes per kilometre running.
That's so... definitely more than a kilometre. I don't know, actually. Maybe it is about right.
Maybe. But you've got to remember, though, you've got to go... You're not going in a direct line, are you? You're going to have to weave in and out of people, turn left, turn right, go upstairs, downstairs.
He's not
downstairs.
Exactly dressed for it, yeah.
Yeah, right, that's a fair play to her. She made it a pretty good time. But it just made me laugh, though, because I was just like, I was sitting there, and as soon as they showed that lorry, I was like, yeah, so front pit. She did, and I was like, wow.
There's no way you called that.
Yeah,
I did. I really there's, good find
yeah. When she goes back in time and she does her like Terminator landing, just before they zoom to Donna, someone walks past with a boom box. And I was genuinely like, that doesn't feel like a very 2008 thing. Why would they include that? Like a boom box is like a 90s or 80s thing. Do you know what I mean?
When did boom boxes go out of fashion?
Not in 2008.
I reckon they could be used in early 2000s. So to be having one 2008, you know, there could be some people who are a bit old-fashioned.
It just felt very odd to, like, have that be the thing that's going to dictate what timing we're in. But, JP, you said you're eagle-eyed and good at spotting things. Did you get the Easter egg this week?
Yeah, the bees.
The bees. The bays.
And no, she makes reference to, where is it? Between my notes, a perfect time to start an OnlyFans, and they move country, move county, not country. The bees disappearing. Donna's talking to her mum about stuff, and she just says, "Oh, on the top of it, the bees are disappearing as well."
Very good. You've obviously, so a little peek behind the curtain here. You obviously know what happens in next week's episode, but do you have any theories on what's happening with the bees disappearing?
No, in honesty, going into because I have, we have seen this, we don't really call these now, but going into that episode, though, I had no idea. I, as I said, I guess that the bees had something to do with, well, I called the Daleks, didn't I?
I think you said they'd been exterminated by the Daleks, which was almost very on point.
But I thought it was going to be something like they were using them or cloning them or mind control, something like that. But I didn't, in honesty, I didn't guess that they were migrating elsewhere. But but I did put a note then for the odd next time trailer, and it was just shipping everyone's there. Like, that was insane.
That was pretty mad, The last sort of 10 minutes of this, I love it. I love David Tennant's reaction to it being Rose and his sort of slow realisation. And then, the next time trailer is boom, 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 boom. Did you expect to see Harriet Jones?
No, not at all.
That's next episode.
that's the next time.
You don't see her in the next time?
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
No, not the next time.
You don't.
I promise you, you do, because I have a note. And again, I can say this because we've watched it, but the actual bit that they show is her being shot by the Daleks.
No, it's not.
I promise you, I watched it on BBC iPlayer. The next time trailer shows Harriet Jones being shot by a Dalek.
I'm going to watch it right now, and I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
It's 100% there. Anything to add to the episode before we just do a few miscellaneous notes?
No. As I said, I think it's probably one of my favourite standalone episodes of Doctor Who.
That's wild, man. I would never in a million years have said that.
Put it this way. I'm going to be controversial.
To be fair.
I think this was better than Midnight.
Wow.
I think it was better than Midnight. I was more gripped on this one than I was Midnight.
Bloody hell, man. That's something. I guess, anything to add, Brad?
Not really, I don't think. I think it is a great episode, to be fair. And it sets up the finale perfectly.
It sets up the finale pretty good, yeah. I'll give you that. I've just got a couple of things. The fortune teller is Chan Tho from Utopia.
Yeah, I remembered that, to be fair. Also, you did get that right on Harriet Jones. She is in the next time trailer. I'll give you that.
Thank you very much.
Really?
She actually is.
And it's the bit where she's getting shot by the Daleks.
You don't see her get shot, but she just sort of takes a deep breath in.
We've got to mention the trickster, otherwise we'll get comments, because that obviously comes up in the latest series, maybe, or it doesn't. I'm not 100% sure anymore.
You won't ever actually see the trickster in the short Sarah Jane Adventures, so...
And if you'll permit me, boys, just before we go on, I don't know why I was doing this, but I was on IMDb and I was just looking at the reviews, and they start from this episode, but there's one really, will you let me read out this really bad review? Right. So it's rated it 2 stars on the 23rd of September, 2021 as well. I think that's quite prevalent. They've typed it out so that the first letter of every word is a capital letter, which is very upsetting. But I'm just going to read this out and see if you agree with it, boys. This is another one of the David Tennant Doctor Who episodes that are just bad from start to finish. One of the biggest things that makes this episode so bad. Am I on the right one here? Wait a second. Apologies. So sorry. I've got two. That was the wrong one. But this is same thing. This was done on the same day, but for a different episode, for the episode that we've just done. This is why I got it confused. This is another one of the David Tennant Doctor Who episodes that are just not quite right. There is something about it that makes it just another bad Doctor Who episode, and it is such a shame that it has to be in David Tennant's episodes. This episode fails for many reasons. One of the biggest reasons is the episode is all about Catherine Tate's Donna Noble, and she lacks the ability to hold a story that is centered around her. She is not good enough to sustain interest in a story that is Donna centered. Another big fail is it's also based on fortune telling, which to me is complete crap and is propitiated by complete fraudsters who steal people's money and make them live in poverty whilst the fortune tellers live in mansions and say, just come see me a little bit longer and you will be rich, and drown each dollar out of their victims and then leave them out in the cold when they have no more to give and say, oh, it's such and such you did that didn't make it come true. The story has two saving graves. One is David Tennant as Doctor Who. The other is Billy Piper's return as Rose Tyler. But these two saving graces are not enough to save the episode. And once again, this is just another episode that is a complete chore to watch. Fuck.
Jack, I thought you hadn't seen these episodes. You've done a review
yeah,
of it.
I was going to say, you know what? I was just about to say that that could have been written by me up until the point where it started ranting about fortune tellers. Tell me some cool shit, you know.
I'm fascinated by this person. I was going back through the episodes to see if they'd left any reviews, but no. So this is where it starts, and then we have this for the next few episodes. I'm going to treat you to that at the end of every episode, if you don't mind, boys.
Nice, nice. Because we've got no reviews of our own podcast, so now we're doing reviews of the actual episodes.
JP, love it or hate it? I think I know the answer.
Oh, easy, love it, mate. Easy, love it.
Bradley?
Yeah, love it. Top quality.
I don't think it's top quality, but I love it, obviously. It's a good episode. It is a bloody good episode. That's for the finale, JP?
I now see what you boys were saying throughout this series, where it's building up to some Avengers-level shit. It looks good. It really looks good. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're very nearly there. Very nearly at the end of David Tennant's run at the Doctor now. Obviously, next week is a two-parter. For the first time on Doc Who Pod, we are going to do the two-parter as two individual episodes, because we've obviously got a regeneration coming up. Spoilers alert, we want Jack to get the full experience of that. So yeah, this has been our Turn Left review. Thank you for listening, and yeah, looking forward to joining you next week for our Stolen Earth review.
Well, thank you as always, guys. Adios,
amigos.
Amigos.